From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, the rector of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up, he saw a large crowd coming toward him. And Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the Sea of Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But Jesus said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. That sounds good. You guys are good at what you do. It just sounds good. It's good to be back at the 5 o'clock service where I have been away. I don't know who any of you people are. All these new people. Thank you for coming to our church tonight. My mother was born in 1940, and by 1948, she was about to enter the second grade, and she met a woman named Rebecca. Becky became my mother's best friend in 1948, and they stayed friends throughout the entirety of their lives. Becky had 2 sons, Butch and Mike. And Becky and her husband, Rule, were known to me as Aunt Becky and Uncle Rule. I was in their house a lot growing up. When my parents divorced, we moved back to Waco, and Becky and Rule were very important to us. I wrecked 4 cars in 3 years, and my Uncle Rule was in the car business, which helped my mom out considerably. Butch was about 2 or 3 years older than I was, and he played baseball. He and Mike were big baseball guys. I was always sort of an outcast when we gathered at Thanksgiving because I was theater. And theater and baseball guys, I don't know if you know that, don't mix real well. But Butch was always nice. He was older, and Mike was always tolerant, and he was about the same age, and we got along just fine. But one day in a baseball game, Butch was hit in the face right in the temple of his nose by a baseball. He was a pitcher, and the ball just came right back at him and clocked him in the nose, and pretty severe. And he ended up suffering from epilepsy from that injury. And so he was unable to really do baseball that much anymore. And so he chose other fields, and he was not able to ever be a policeman. He wanted to go into law enforcement, but he was able to serve. So he ended up being an officer of a municipal police department and was able to do the radio work and to do that kind of thing for the department. In Waco is a lake, and the lake is called Lake Waco. Very creative up there off I-35. So, and Lake Waco is a part of my upbringing. Every day at about 3:30, we would leave and not go do homework. We would leave to go water skiing. All about my life, Lake Waco has been a big part of it. And there's a golf course there off the lake, and my Aunt Becky was a big golfer, and we just had this whole little world that we lived in Waco revolved around this body of water. My Aunt Becky, Uncle Rule, really cousins, owned a barge. Barges, I don't know if you know, or houseboats, they're called in different places, just floating, gigantic floating things with a very small motor, and you just putter out to the middle of the lake and swim and putter back. So Butch was working on the barge when he had a seizure, and he drowned, and he died. And I found Becky. I was 16 or 17. I found Becky, and I found her, and she had that look in her eye that all mothers get, which was sort of, I've lost my entire half of myself, my soul. If you've ever been around parents who have lost children or older children, there is a pronounced countenance of pain that I would not wish on anyone. Becky said to me later in her life that she spent about 10 years of her life after the time Butch died until she kind of began to get to be more healthy, just at the bottom of a vodka bottle and trying to figure it out. It was a big amount of pain in our life at that time. I bring that story up to you because two summers ago, I don't know if you know this or not, but we have a school attached to this church. It's a great school, 496 students there, K through 8th grade school. And the headmaster, Mr. Wagers Garrett, to me, and I have become very close friends. He and his wife, Christine, and Allison and I are really tight, and we spend a long weekend together every year. Two summers ago, we went to Horseshoe Bay out on Lake LBJ, and we had a pontoon boat, and we were out. And we were doing that thing that you do in lakes that I think is so much fun. You put the life preserver on upside down or backwards like a diaper. Do you all know this trick? And you fasten it like a diaper so you can just sort of float off the boat and hang onto a ski rope. Is this news to you all? This is what I did. It's the best thing ever. Thank you. Amen, sister. Woo, Episcopalians are awake tonight. So we're floating out in the thing, and my wife Allison has this particular hat that she bought in Mexico that she likes to float in. So she likes to have this hat on, diaper on, float. And it's just her thing, and I appreciate it. So anyway, she said, would you get on the boat and get my hat? And I was, sure, I'll hop on the boat and I'll get your hat. So I hopped on the boat to get her hat. And just then, Lake LBJ is a bright Texas day, like this kind of day, very calm. We had that boat anchored. I'm on the boat, the three of them. Real quick, foreshadowing, we said to ourselves as we all were floating there in the water, all of St. Mark's leadership is here now in Lake LBJ. Hopefully nothing bad will happen. Foreshadowing to the bad thing that did happen. As I got on the boat, a weird wind came out of the hill country, and the whole Lake LBJ began to white cap. And the boat popped its anchor and began to float for free. And they left. They let go of the rope, and now we're kind of about 40 yards, then 50 yards, then 60 yards away from me as I floated away and away and away from them, trying to scramble to get what I could of the anchor up, get the ski rope in, get the motor on, and turn to them. But to get to them, you had to do this little trick in boating where you would be here so you would float towards them rather than go right at them because you'd keep missing them. And it was just this crazy scene of smashing this boat and finding these three people and getting them on the boat and getting ourselves to land, at which point we got to land. And just like any of you in this room, we all went, wow. We almost died. It was a weird moment in my life. I have been afraid before, but that was the beginning of a feeling I hadn't had in a while. That was weird and close. In an instant, the whole world can change. The weather can look great and then switch on you. I tell you those two stories about the water because when disciples are in boats and they're crossing seas and there's wind, it's scarier than just reading it in the Bible like that. People die. You're going to die. I hate to bring me the bearer of your bad news about your life, but your life is made from the earth, and to the earth you shall return, and you are going to die. I read you two stories tonight. I read you the story of King David, the ruddy little shepherd man who defeats Goliath and defeats Saul and becomes the greatest king ever. 2,000 years, 3,000 years ago he lived. He's still renowned, the city of David, David, King David, the maker of Jerusalem, David. And I read you the story of Jesus, our Jesus, the Jesus we call Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, the son of God, the king of the Jews who was crucified, who died and was resurrected. The kingdom of David is no more, but the kingdom of Jesus has millions upon millions upon millions of us willing to follow. What's interesting about the King David story is it's our story. It's the story of what we do when we become powerful. We can take what we want. We can take Bathsheba. We can be clever and come up with a go home to your wife. Why aren't you going home to your wife? Go home to your wife so it'll cover up what I've done. But he doesn't do that. So what's the next best thing? Set him up to be killed, to cover what he's done. We are David. We've done that. We're humans. We'll die. We get injured. We get hurt. We do awful things. But we're called to follow a certain Lord in a certain way who does certain things to overcome this human side of us. We all have souls. Those souls speak to us. They say to us, resist this, follow this, and what this is, take a little bit of you, a couple of fish, some bread, take a little bit of you, give thanks for it, and give it away. So much so, so abundant will this work be, that you will fill 12 baskets full of the fragments of the things that you took, blessed, and gave away. The fragments. Don't be afraid of the storm. Take your life, your fragmented life, and I will fill 12 baskets with it. That's what I have for you. To remind you. To give you that sense that yes, while you are a fallible, messed up, doing weird thing human being, you are also a child of God, and in that childhood, an heir. And what you will be the heir of is the ability to take the fragments and feed the millions. Amen.
How great thou art.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.